KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
To turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to lift out a few of the following verses. Verses actually 5 through 9. 6 is going to be our verse of focus. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 5 says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of God of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bound or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. And for just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, what motivates you to serve? What motivates you to serve? Motivation is so important in the service for God. It will determine the quality of our service. It would determine the consistency of our service. And the right motives will do wonders. The wrong motives can corrupt, ruin, and destroy. One of the things our verse speaks about is both wrong motives and right motives, and I want us to look at that, because when we're clear about the motivation of our service, we'll understand how some of us can serve with joy in spite of the money. And how some of us cannot be joyous in spite of the money. See, there are some things you'll recognize as it relates to the motivation. One of the things that I'm clear about is when you are serving according to your assignment, there will be joy in the service, no matter how difficult the assignment is. But when money is your motivator, when fame and position and those things that men see as pleasing and as in positional that gives them some type of authority, if all of those things simply are the motivating forces for why you work, I've got news for you. You'll never ever be all that God's called you to be, nor do all that God wants you to do, because the motivation is wrong. You see, you'll hear people on the job say when there's something to be done and their title does not necessarily have that description and say, y'all don't pay me to do that. That's because they're not team players. They're motivated for money and they're looking at every single thing they do. That's why you can't get people to move beyond certain places. And that's why you need to always have an eye on them, because if they get an inkling that they're not being watched, they're not going to do any more than is necessary to make a day. You know how when some people work and they finish the work before the day is out? Instead of putting their hands to do something else that's productive, or to say to the boss, listen, I finished what you've got given or assigned me to do, is there anything else? They will rather fake it, force it, pretend like they're busy. And I got news for you. Can I tell you, pretend work is harder than real work? I wish I had a witness in the house. You got to fake it and act like you're making it happen when you are just far away from that reality. But yet that's the kind of sense of selfishness that folk have when the motivation is wrong. First of all, look at the word again in verse 6. Not with eye service. Not with eye service as men pleases. First thing the verse reveals is the wrong motivation. It spotlights the wrong motivation simply because that is the place where most folk are. Let's look at this because I want us to see this. There are three things that are said here about service done wrong. And first of all, it is the place of service. The place of service. Notice what the word says. Eye service. Some will only serve where they are noticed.
All right.
And if it's not where they are noticed, it's where there is a big crowd.
All right.
They would not serve in obscurity in some small place where there are not a whole lot of onlookers and people watching. They won't serve where there is not attention given to their service. It is clear if your motivation for service is guided by eye service. Listen at this. Then you're going to discover that you're going to miss the essence of what real true service is about and to whom real service is all about. And so when you begin to look at this, it says two things: eye service, and here is the focus, as men pleases. So not only do we know that eye service will give you great limitations on your service, but you're going to note that eye service will also cause you to serve in limited places. Because when you have eye service trying to please men, then you will discover that if it's not a place where folk can pat you on the back, lift you up, give you praise because of the things that you're doing, not for the service of God, but so that you might be seen. Then there are going to be limited places where you would really serve at. And so some of the places God may really need you to serve at may be in a place where there are not a whole lot of people. It may be one person. It may be a handful of folk. But because you're looking for folk to eye you, to see you in service, to speak of the works that you're doing, to give you the praise and the glory that goes along with the work that you feel you have done and worthy of praise, then it makes the place of your service very limited. And that's one of the things that the Word of God teaches us, that if a man is faithful in little, small places and a few around a few people in, you know, obscure places, then he will be faithful in large crowds and in big places and on major levels. It begins with the heart and it begins in the place of smallness. That's why when God looks at you and assigns you some things, God many times does not assign the big assignments to people who are just beginning. Because you've got to prove yourself to God. You got to prove that you're in the service for the right reason. And so sometimes God will show you that your motives aren't right by giving you small jobs. And you'd be like, oh, I'm beyond all that, man. I got a college degree. I've been to seminary. I've been ministering. And I'm not going to this little small place. I'm not going to do that. And listen to this. If a man who brings the gospel cannot preach in front of three people like he's preaching in front of 3,000, then God will never use him greatly. If God puts you in a place and there are not many people around, but yet God has assigned that place to you, if you are not faithful with the few, God's not going to give you a place of the many. And so when we begin to see this again, we begin to understand the first place is of service, but then there's something else, because the second place is the praise for service, because the Bible says men pleasers. I service as men pleasers. Now, some serve only if they get the praise of men. And you'll notice that there are some people, you assign them and they may do the work, but if they don't get the praise, they ain't too ready to do nothing else. You know, men praises. Some people don't live for the praise and the glory of God. They live for the praise of men. I mean, like the Pharisees who love to stand in the marketplace and look up to heaven and make these long, drawn-out prayers, sounding holy and pious and righteous. Oh, Father God, your servant seeketh thee. All that old mess and don't mean none of that. You remember when that old publican wouldn't even look up to heaven, didn't find himself worthy, pounded on his chest because of the agony and pain of his sinful place and cried out to God. Then when Jesus gave reference to the two men, he said, which one of these men you think went home justified? And it was clearly not the man who stood up and put down on the other man. I thank you that I'm not like this man. I'm not all of these things that he said about him. You know what he forgot? That while he wasn't what that other man was, God knew what he was. See, that's the problem with pointing the finger. When you point the finger at someone else, don't forget that God is up, looking up from above, pointing down at you, revealing the fact that you are not perfect and there's much about you that fingers can be pointed at. The only difference is that yours at this point is not exposed. And when you expose other men's sin, don't forget that what goes around, what goes around, yeah, it might not even be here on earth, but it's going to be in heaven for sure. Grandma and them used to say, if it don't catch in the wash, it'll catch in the rinse. So if God don't expose it down here, which I wish he would, because it gives you a chance to get it together down here, because if he exposes it up there and you never repented for it down here, that goes against you. So listen at this, praise for service. Men pleasers. And so these kind of folk have this attitude that limits their service and corrupts their service, because their service is only for the glory of man, the praise of man, the things that man will say about them. You know, the Bible says, beware when all men speak well of you. How many of us have honestly gotten messed up by that mess that men have said, fooling us? You know, man is cruel sometimes. You can be jacked up.
All right.
And man can mess your mind and make you think you all that. And you know you ain't, not right, you all messed up. Man, I'm telling you, been there, done that on both sides of the fence. You know, I've been there messing with folk mind, they were messed up. And I'm like, now I know they know that don't go together. That, man, you know you shy. But can't nobody but you wear that. Yeah, I've been there. I ain't gonna lie. And you know, it's been vice versa. I mean, you know, when stuff just ain't right, and with yourself, it don't feel right. And then when you know you messed up, you gotta ask somebody else. That's a dead giveaway right there. Because something underneath your skin is telling you that, no, that ain't. And when they're like, oh yeah, that looks good. You know, like when women come, do I look fat in this? Well, if you look fat in that, you fat anyway. I'm just speaking truth. Don't kill the messenger. Don't. But I'm just trying to tell you, we've been on both sides. You got to be careful about what people say, and letting again that you find to be favorable from the lips of man, you must be careful. But then the third thing I want to tell you is the person of service, because that is implied. If your motivation is eye service and men pleasers, you are serving self. See, that's what it really boils down to. When you look at your motivation of service, if it's the wrong motive, it's because you are serving self. And self is the worst person to serve. Self is the worst person to serve. And so when you begin to recognize that again, it does not only serving self does not only limit your service, but it also disqualifies you from serving God. When you serve self, you serve self in a limited capacity, and at the same time disqualifies yourself from serving God. Because Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Well, that's something to that. If Jesus says you've got to deny yourself, then clearly self is not worthy of being served. All right. Not by you, not self-serving. Right. And those who have a spirit of self-serving dishonor the service of God. You're not in this for you. You're in this for him. Your service should be to him. Your service that best benefits man is to God and to man with a selfless spirit. Because certainly, if you in it for yourself, the moment you don't see the benefit in it for you, you're through with it. It could be at a crucial point of conversion for someone else. But because if you don't see the benefit for self in this, then you'll abandon that crucial conversion when the Lord sent you to do that. But if your motives are wrong, what am I getting out of this? What's the point of this for me? What's in it for me? And when self rises to that level, you disqualify yourself as a servant of God. But thanks be to God that it started with the wrong motives in this verse, but it doesn't end.
All right.
On the wrong motives. It ends on the right motives. And let's look at the right motives, because servants of Christ is what the word says. Again, Ephesians 6 and 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. Listen at this. Doing the will of God from the heart. Now, there are three things that the word says, and they are clear from the text in this portion of right motives. The first thing is that we must look at the person of service. The person of service is clear from Scripture, Christ. You see, if I'm going to serve man, I've got to first serve Christ. I serve man because of Christ. And it is because of Christ that I serve man. I can never leave Christ out of the equation, because I will soon stop serving man. Because sometimes in serving man, man can get on your last nerve. Man can be an ingrate and so ungrateful for the good and the sacrifices that you make in serving him, that you'll say, you know what, I give up. I'm not doing it anymore. This person is not thankful. They're not grateful. They're not utilizing these benefits that they've been given the way that they ought to. And so you'll get discouraged and want to give up serving man. Some folk can hurt your heart, hurt your feelings in service to them, that you want to give up service. But you've got to remember that you're serving man because you serve Christ. That's why Jesus told Peter when he got up from the grave, Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. asked him again, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Then the third time he asks him, Peter, do you love me? The emphasis on, do you sincerely and truly love me? And Peter says, yes. He said, feed my sheep. Now here's why he made love the motivating force. Because he knew the difficulty that would come in feeding the lambs and the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're finicky eaters. I mean, they have all kinds of quirks with what they eat, the time they eat, where they eat. They got a lot of stuff. And that there are things that you've got to understand about them, almost like children. You've got to get to know them.
All right.
To understand that if he said lambs, then sheep and sheep, he's talking about babies, he's talking about young, and then he's talking about mature. The dietary preferences of all three are different. And so you got to make sure you're not feeding babies mature food.
All right.
And you've got to be careful to balance the food of the young between the babies and the older sheep. And so he says it's going to require much of you, much attention, much to detail, much to service. Sometimes you're going to have to prepare three different meals. Just depend on what group you're feeding then. But you love me, and because you love me, you feed them. Y'all not hearing me today. That's why, listen at this. He said, do you love me? Not do you love the sheep?
All right.
Are you hearing me here? Because every time they want to act up and run off, he got to put down the pot, go run and get him. Now he get him, pick him up. He running, got to throw him on his shoulder, bring him back there. And sometime, like a nursing care, you got to nurse him, just feed him. Because you know he's going to lose strength and energy and then be prey for the wolves if he doesn't keep his strength up.
Yeah. Right.
And it's the responsibility of the shepherd, the under shepherd, to feed them. So you've got to know that your service is to Christ. How many times have you been out witnessing and folk didn't receive the witness word? Or people that you thought that would have been helpers to the witness word were herders to the witness word. Doubters, naysayers. How many times have people within the same ranks of your own denomination caused more ill to the kingdom of God by their witness?
All right.
And seemed to everything you built up, they came with their negativity and with their naysaying and tore it down. And you see, the problem is, if it's not for Christ, you'd be like, I'm throwing my hands up. I'm through with this. Because this doesn't make any sense. We're on the same team. I'm building up, you tearing down.
All right.
I'm speaking good, you speaking evil. No, but you've got to remember it's for Christ. He is the person of service. It is not self, but the Savior that keeps you focused on the person of service. I'm doing this for Jesus. When you want to give up, our prayer ministry prays for folk of our city every weekend. And there they are, and they have to go through some stuff. And here's the bad thing. Some of the stuff they go through isn't with the unsaved, is with the saved.
All right.
Some of the challenges that they deal with are more with saved folk than unsaved folk. Unsaved folk were, many of them stopped and so grateful that there was someone who took their time out in the heat, in the cold, to be out there praying for them, letting them know, here is a prayer station. Whatever your needs are, we serve a God who is able to hear and answer prayer. Pull over in their cars, and they will pray for you right there on the spot. Listen at this. You've got to be committed to Christ.
All right.
People try to stop you from even doing that. But you got to remember, you're doing it for Christ. But then there's a second thing that I want us to see, and that's the place of service. What is the place of service? The place of service for the right motivation is the will of God. The will of God. It is the will of God that tells us the where and the when and the what and the how of service. The will of God. You see, when you understand that the place of service must be in the will of God, because nothing else outside of His will bring success. See, that's why I tell folk, you know, be led of God about ministry work, about place of worship, about place of employment. Be led of the Spirit of God. Why? Because if you are out of the will of God, then you do not have God's grace, nor God's protection, a power, a peace in that place as if you were in the will of God. See, this is the thing that we miss. We get ourselves outside of the will of God, then ask God to protect us out of His will.
All right.
Well, the word is clear that God is only under obligation to protect those and to provide for those who are in His will. Jesus could have chosen not to go to Calvary in the flesh, but that's why He prayed, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Nevertheless, the transitional word, not as I will, but as Thou will. Here's what Jesus recognized, that all of His living, all of His giving, all of His life would have been in vain had He not been in the will of God.
Amen.
Nothing that He had previously done would have prospered and benefited man had Jesus not gone to Calvary and stood in a place that was meant for every repentant sinner. And so we've got to realize we might want to do some things, but if it's not the will of God, it won't profit you. Your ministry may not be what you desire it to be, but I promise you, if it's in the will of God, it will be successful, both to those it ministers to and to you for being obedient to God. How many times have I heard people say they want to be this, they want to be that, don't have an inkling of that gift in the smallest bone in their body.
All right.
It's evident. Listen at this. It's not, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to find out and to figure out what God's will is for your life as relates to the gifts and abilities that He gives you to minister. If He gives you an ability to do a certain thing, many times your ministry is going to be encompassed in that gift, ability, or talent. God never calls in public service people to sing that can't sing.
All right.
Listen to this. Now, He called them to praise. Because to praise Him, you ain't got to have a nice voice.
All right.
Doesn't have to be melodious. You just need to make a joyful noise.
All right.
I hear it every Sunday morning.
All right.
You catch that on your way home. But it don't matter, because there's a that's not ministry to man. When you are ministering to God, that is not even a part of what God looks at. He looks at the heart, He looks at the sincerity, and He moves by what He knows is real and sincere in you.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.